this morning is to encourage everyone to function as a vital part of the body of Christ, and especially here at Mesa Hills Bible Church. And so we're going to look at this truth that makes our church function in the way that God meant for it to function. So let's bow in prayer. Let's wait upon the Lord as we have a moment of silent prayer where we each ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Now, Lord, as we look to your word this morning, may the Holy Spirit impress upon our hearts the importance of this truth, that we indeed are members one of another. We would pray, O Lord, that you would challenge us this morning. And as we go through this difficult time as a church, waiting upon the man that you have to be our pastor, may we be unified. May we look unto Thee, Lord. And would you continue to bless our church as a testimony here in this corner of your vineyard, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Being members one of another, we have responsibility that we'll see this morning. But being an onlooker, a spectator in the arena of Christian living can be very risky indeed. The wrong things go up and the right things come down. Criticism, discouragement, disillusionment, boredom, gossip, that all goes up. Sensitivity to sin, the need of others, love for the Word, support and loyalty for the church all seem to go down. As I mentioned, we're going through a difficult time, a time of transition. And I want to say this. I praise the Lord for all of you who continue to loyally support Mesa Hills Bible Church. I praise the Lord for those of you who are willing to stick by the stuff and stay with it and wait upon the Lord for His man. And so, loyalty, I think, is a great virtue. And I appreciate the loyalty that you have shown to the Lord and to His church. I think I've given you this little saying before, as we think of being a spectator when it comes to the things of the Lord and His service. It's about Mr. Mittu. Mr. Mittu has a comrade, and his name is Didn't Do. Have you ever chanced to meet him? Has he ever called on you? These two fellows live together in the house of Never Win, and I'm told that it is haunted by the ghost of what might have been. And my challenge for you, dear folks, this morning, I hope that you will not be haunted by the ghost of what might have been, but that you'll be everything God meant for you to be, to your family, to first of all to Him, to your church, to your friends, to each of us as we are members one of another. Of the various analogies used in Scripture concerning the church, this message deals with the analogy of the church as a body or a family. For we're all a part of the body of Christ, being born again, being a part of the family of God. We sing about that quite often, that chorus, the family of God, and how important it is for the security of each believer to realize that we are a part of the family of God, members one of another. Now, all the New Testament writers, they recognize the truth that we are indeed members one of another. James has four references of the one another concept. In 4:11, we read, "Speak not evil of one another." Now, we should know that we're not, as believers, to speak evil about other believers. But I wonder, have we ever done that? And if so, did we confess it as a sin that it is? Then 1 Peter also has four references, such as, use hospitality one to another. Now, there are some of you who have the gift of hospitality. But we should all be hospitable to one another, as the Scripture says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul, in teaching about the spiritual gifts, says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. For in fact the body is not one member, but many." And he uses the members of our physical body to show how important each member is. If we didn't have eyes, we couldn't see. If we didn't have ears, we couldn't hear. If we didn't have a mouth, we couldn't talk, we couldn't eat. If we didn't have hands, we couldn't work. If we didn't have feet, we couldn't walk. When you get older, and these old bodies begin to wear out, as the Scripture says, the outer man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. But you find out just how important every member of your body is. For if one member of your body suffers, the whole body suffers. Now, I have neuropathy in my legs, and that's what affects my balance. So that's why you see me staggering around here. But I don't have the pain that a lot of people did until last night. I don't know why, but just my big toe. Now, my big toe isn't a very important member of my body. But I'll tell you, that stinging pain, I couldn't sleep. It affected my whole body. And so the smallest member of our church body is just as important, as we'll see, as every member is. So we are indeed members one of another. That being true, no individual Christian can function effectively by him or herself. God did not save us to be lone rangers. Now, I know what you're thinking. He had Tonto. Well, I think each one of us, like David of old, he had Jonathan. We all need a Jonathan. Someone who sticks close to us, who believes in us, who is a friend to us. And not only do we need a Jonathan, we need to be a Jonathan to another dear friend that we have in Christ. We can only function as God meant to us by knowing one another's needs. That's why we have a prayer sheet where we pray for one another. That's why we have a special needs fund, so that when someone is hurting financially, we can reach out as a church and help them. And then there are times that you see someone's need. We'll talk about this more in a moment. And you can meet that need. And the Scripture says you need to do more than just say, "Well, I'll pray for you and be warm." No. If you have something to help another, and you don't help them, the question found in 1 John is, how does this love dwell in you? So for our church to function effectively and meaningfully is for each of us to know each other well, and on the basis of that, to minister to one another well. So no individual Christian can function effectively by him or herself. That's why the Lord instituted the local church. I think one of the weaknesses of a mega church, where they have 3,000 or 4,000 people there, they don't know the needs of one another, generally speaking. You want to get lost? Not be accountable to anyone? Not be in any service for the Lord? Attend a mega church. You can get lost there. You can think that you're doing your duty by attending the church, but you'll never really be used of the Lord. Most people won't. Now, some people will, I realize. No member of Christ's body is more important than any other member of the body. We are all gifted children of God. Now, indeed, some people are more gifted. They have a more visual type of gift, seen of individuals and all, but that doesn't make them any more important than anybody else. Within the church, there's no place for superstars and no reason for substitutes. We are all gifted children of God. I trust that you know what your spiritual gift is. If you want to find out, read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Read Ephesians chapter 4. Read Romans chapter 12. You'll find 19 different gifts mentioned there. And I would venture to say that most of us here this morning probably have at least the gift of helps. That may be your primary gift, but there are other gifts as well. And because you are a gifted child of God, you should be ministering to one another, as we read so often in Scripture. No Christian has an exclusive right on God's grace. We're all recipients of God's grace when it comes to salvation. But the Scripture says, in the measure that we have grace, we are to exercise our spiritual gifts. And it tells us we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. I don't have much sympathy for an egotistical believer who thinks they're number one. I have more sympathy for that person who has an inferiority complex. But they need to overcome that. Let me say very kindly to anyone who does have a self-image problem. You see, that's just a reverted type of pride. What you need to do is look unto Jesus. Understand who you are in Christ. Understand what Christ has given you. You're a gifted child of God, members of the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we must work hard for in building the unity of the church. Ephesians 4:3 tells us, endeavoring. And that speaks of hard work. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, this unity does not come automatically. It takes spiritual maturity. Spirituality is our relationship to the Holy Spirit. As we are filled of the Holy Spirit, and we'll talk about that more, then that means we are being controlled by the Holy Spirit so that we can be enabled by the Holy Spirit to do what the Lord tells us to do in His Word. Maturity has to do with our relationship to the Word of God. As we study these admonitions today, they're just not words on paper. It's God speaking to our hearts concerning our responsibility to one another. Which is what? Mainly to love one another. And so we should function more effectively, all of us, as members of Christ's body. Why? Because as we have read here in Scripture, the inspired Word of God, it's Jesus talking, not me necessarily, when He says that we are members one of another. Now, we are told repeatedly in the New Testament to love each other. How many times does God have to tell us that? I said, there are over 100 one another exhortations in Scripture. I was going to count up. I got Strong's commentary. I was going to count up all the one, love one another. I counted over 30 times. God tells us in His Word that we are to love one another. This love is expressed in honor, preferring one another. We're told in Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another. Now that word affectionate in the Greek is a compound word made up of two words of different kinds of love. It is philos love. That's the soulish love of feeling. That's an emotional love. And then storge. That's a strong affection that one has for family members. So we are to be genuinely have a good feeling, most of the time at least, toward our fellow believers. And as Christians, we should have similar feelings toward each other because we are members of the same family. Now, I don't know about you, but the family that I enjoy here at Mesa Hills Bible Church is stronger, and I guess I could even say more important than the family that I grew up in necessarily. My mom was one of 13 kids. And they all lived there in Kansas. Every month we'd get together for birthdays. There'd be 50 or 60 of us. Big family. And we were close as a family. That closeness sometimes causes some problems, just as it does in the church. And that's why we are exhorted over and over again to love one another. And we'll talk about this particular type of love in just a moment. But this family at Mesa Hills that I've had the privilege of being a part of for 28 years means more to me. Well, not my immediate family, not my kids and grandkids necessarily, but the others, the cousins and so forth. It has meant a great deal to me to be a part of this church because it preaches the Word of God. It seeks to win people to Christ. It is the immediate family that we have in being a part of a much larger family, the body of Christ. Now, the practical methods taught by Paul in expressing the love that we're to have one to another, we'll see in just a moment. But let's talk about this particular type of love and that the Bible's talking about when it tells us we are one of another. It's the agape that many of you have heard that term, the agape love. It's used 116 times in the verb form in Scripture, 142 times in the noun form of Scripture. It is the fruit of the Spirit, the love that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It is the love of the Holy Spirit as He indwells our spirit. That's one of the things that happened the moment we placed our faith and trust in Christ. Is the Holy Spirit came into our spirit to make us alive spiritually, to enable us to live the Christian life. The fruit of the Spirit. Someone has said all the other fruits of the Spirit, person is love, all the others are demonstrated. This love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, all of these are but demonstrations of this, a love that we have for one another. It is a mental attitude love. The other love I expressed to you was an emotional love, a love of feeling. This is a mental attitude love. It is a love of the will. I will love you. I mentioned sometimes there are problems in a family. You've had them in your family. We've had them here in our local church family. But nevertheless, we say, I will to love. I will not to hate. I will not to have any mental attitude sins against my brothers and sisters in Christ. This love is shown by giving preference to one another, treating others as more important than ourselves. And then in honoring one another. That word honor in the Greek is rather an unusual meaning. You wouldn't get it by looking at our English. But the primary meaning is price. There is a price to pay in loving our brethren and preferring them above ourselves. Ephesians 2, 3, and 4, from the NIV, it reads this way. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only on your own interest, but also on the interest of others. And we were talking about meeting the needs that other people have. And we are to look for the opportunity to minister to one another. So some practical questions and applications here. When was the last time you purposely attempted to honor a fellow believer above yourself? Now, how can you do that? You can do it by praying for them. You can do it by giving them a call. See how they're doing. By sending a note. Pat and I got a lovely note that someone sent to us at Thanksgiving, thanking us for our ministry. Here the other morning, a lady came up to me and said, I want you to know that your messages have really been an encouragement to me. That's how you minister to one another. But then, as we've mentioned, if you see they have a physical need, a material need, by God's grace, you reach out to help them. Are we willing to play second fiddle? Or do we want to be number one? You see on television, you guys are watching sports at least. Boy, the camera zooms on people. They may be behind 30 points, but they're still number one, you know. That's just the natural attitude that so many people have. To accompany, I think, accompaniments. They are ministering to the individual who sang. By the way, Nathan, praise the Lord. We appreciate that message and song. You know what thrills my heart? This is kind of a rabbit trail here. But seeing Nathan sing and seeing John lead the singing, Jessica in the choir, people we didn't know had the ability, the spiritual gifts, to minister in this way. And so I trust that some of you who have the ability to get up and sing or minister in a way. I know some of you, you can't get up and pray or read the scripture. But if you live close by, you can ply. You can clear the sidewalks. Butch Forrester, he was a precious guy in Tulsa. He was a painter and a wallpaper. You think I ever would call upon him to lead in prayer? Or to do anything publicly? No. He'd faint dead away. But if we ever needed any painting to be done, wallpapering at the church or whatever, there he was. exercising His gift of helps. And so we praise the Lord for each gifted one here today and trust that you are indeed using your gifts. Let me ask you, are you troubled by approbation lust? You say, what in the world is that? That's a craving for attention. Now, some of you folks have been here many years. I'm not going to name this dear lady. She was a wonderful saint of God. But you'll know who I'm talking about. For she had this approbation lust, a desire for attention. Apparently, she didn't get it from her family. She was kind of a lonely lady. But singing in the choir, she wanted everyone to see her. And she loved to walk. Matter of fact, she was in the Senior Olympics and walking. And that was great. But when she came to church, she wore all of her medals. She wanted to be seen. She's with the Lord now. And she's being rewarded. But there's some folks. I remember an usher in the church where I was a youth pastor in Wichita. He wanted to be seen. He always wanted a note to run up on the platform to give to the pastor, turn around and smile. I was always surprised he didn't bow, you know. And then I think of Amen Charlie in a Baptist church in Tulsa. Now, saying amen is fine. It means, I agree, that's right. Preach on. But Amen Charlie, every time the pastor made a point, he'd say amen, fine. Amen, and turn around and look at all the congregation. See if they heard him. See if they saw him. That's approbation lust. No place for that. Being a member of one another. Is it difficult for us to compliment others and to enjoy their success? Some of you remember Ed Woolley. He's with the Lord now. God blessed him when he retired, gave him a wonderful caretaking job. And one of his good friends was jealous that God had blessed him in such a way. And that really hurt their friendship. Oh, self does get in the way, does it not? But if we fail to cultivate this principle of loving one another, we're going to rob ourselves of the blessing that comes to the one who will, in obedience, love others as Jesus loved us. For the Lord Jesus Christ is the supreme example we have of loving one another. That type of love speaks of sacrifice. And so if we are going to be members one of another as God meant for us to be, it means we'll have to sacrifice things at times. Our rights, our privileges, whatever it may be, for the sake of others. But here's a warning as we close. Don't try to love your brethren through the energy of the flesh. It won't work. Now, there are those who have an abundance of natural love for people. But we're not talking about a natural love. We're talking about a supernatural love. And it's only through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit that we can love in this manner. We might say, I just can't love that way. That's right, you can't. Not in the flesh, but through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we must be continually being filled with the Spirit of God so that the Holy Spirit can love others through us. Now, the means of the Holy Spirit, I shared before as a young pastor, I tried all kinds of things. I read after this guy, I read after that, their example. And then finally I heard the means of the filling of the Holy Spirit is the confession of our sin. For the Holy Spirit can't fill us if we have sin in our life. But confessing that sin, He forgives us of that sin and all unrighteousness so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, enabled by the Holy Spirit to love in this manner. So remember, as members one of another, we can never lose in loving one another. It will please God and be an encouragement to so many souls. Lord, we thank you to be put in remembrance.